Good morning. Welcome to our worship service in Jesus' name. It's good to be gathered in God's house. It's good to be gathered here with our brothers and sisters in the Lord. And there is wonderful joy and refreshment to find there with one another. Coming back from a week of camp, for me personally, that is highlighted when you're at camp. You have the joy of being with Christian brothers and sisters from other congregations and other parts of the country. And it's kind of neat to see that fellowship and that friendship that can happen there. I will say, however, that there's nothing quite like being back in the congregation that you are a part of too, and so there's a joy and a blessing and a thankfulness that is in our hearts too when we're able to be together as the body of Christ and as a congregation. And so I'm glad that you're here today, and especially glad for those who are here who are visiting. We're glad that you're here. Feel free to sign a blue card if you find those in your pew. That's a way for us to get to know you a little bit better. If you have a particular prayer request that you would like prayed for during the service, fill out a yellow card. You'll find those in your pews as well, and then you can pass those off to the ushers when they come around a little bit later, and they'll hand them to me so that they can be prayed for later on. Speaking of prayer requests, there are a few significant ones. I guess no prayer is insignificant, right? So I should be careful how to phrase that. But we have some families in our congregation that have been have been hurting here these last few weeks, and I want to just give you a quick update on some of those, and to be able to be praying for these families in particular. Pray for the family of Mabel Johnson. If you didn't get that email yesterday, she passed away early yesterday morning. And sounds like quietly, peacefully, and we're rejoicing there too with her, and for the hope that we have of resurrection, of heaven. And we're going to talk about that a little bit here today. I'm excited to get into that as well in Matthew 13. But pray for the family of Mabel, Kevin and Karina and Claire. This would be Kevin's great aunt, and Mabel was a longtime member, a charter member of the congregation here. And many of you know her, and she hasn't been able to be around with us for a couple years now. But pray for that family. The services are scheduled. There's going to be a prayer service next Sunday from 5 to 7 p.m. at Corsmo Funeral Home, and then there will be a prayer service after that at 7 p.m., and then the funeral for Mabel will be here in the sanctuary on next Monday, so a week from tomorrow at 10:30 in the morning. If you have any questions about that, you can feel free to check with me after the service this morning as well. Keep praying for little Josiah Gillen, and he is home and resting after his surgery here this week, but it was a significant surgery, a successful one, so we're grateful for that. But when you have to be that extensive in terms of opening up the body, it takes a long time to recover, as many of you are fully aware. And so pray for him. There are some summer activities, things like that he won't be able to be a part of now that he was really looking forward to. I know that actually, I was thinking about this week. Several of you maybe aren't even quite familiar with Josiah because he's been healthy for the last few years. He's a boy in our congregation who had kidney failure and needed a kidney transplant. His dad gave him a kidney, and then that kidney developed cancer. And this was several years ago. It was actually right about the time I came, about 3 years ago, when he finally was healthy and has been mostly healthy since. And so this was kind of a setback and a little bit of a frustration, but sounds like it was very temporary and it's fixed. And so they are, the Gillen family are rejoicing and thanking God that it wasn't any worse than it was. But keep praying for Josiah and for his recovery. And then continue to pray for Ken Loken and for the Loken family. Keep praying for healing for Ken. It's a long process for him. And pray for Margaret and for the boys and their families too, as they continue to heal and to start to develop a routine here now in their day-to-day lives. So keep all those people in your prayers today. As far as announcements go, there isn't a lot to share. We've got Fajocha Preteen Camp. We have several children attending that here starting this afternoon, so keep them in your prayers. There's an announcement in your bulletin, in your insert, for Sunday school teachers. We're only a month away now from the start of Sunday school. Most, it looks like, of those positions are filled, but there's still a few left. Be praying about that, and I can tell you right now that if you are convinced that you can't do that, there's a good chance you can. So pray about that and see if that's something that God might be leading you to do. Talk to me about it. You can talk to our Christian Ed Committee, anybody that's on that. If you don't know who they are, you can ask me or Pam or Ryan. They can help you with that also. And be thinking about that so that, because it's not very far away. I think that's all the announcements that I was going to share today. Are there any others that I missed that need to be said? And if not, then let's hear our call to worship. It's from Psalm 59. But I will sing of your strength. I will sing aloud of your steadfast love in the morning. For you have been to me a fortress and a refuge in the day of my distress. O my strength, I will sing praises to you. For you, O God, are my fortress, the God who shows me steadfast love. Isn't that good news? Let's stand and sing together our opening hymn, Holy, Holy, Holy.
Thank you. Please be seated. We'll join together in worship. First, we'll sing Blessed Be the Name.
Colossians Colossians 1:15 tells us that he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. This next song we're going to sing is a new one to our congregation. Maybe some of you know it already, but there are four verses, so hopefully by the time we get to verses 3 and 4, you'll know the tune a little bit better. But I'm going to ask you to please don't be so worried about the tune, but concentrate on the words. They're beautiful words.
In the dawning of the King, he the theme of heaven's praises, robed in frail humanity. In our longing, in our darkness, now the light of life has come. Look to Christ who condescended, took on flesh to ransom us. Come behold the wondrous mystery, he the perfect Son of Man. In his living, in his suffering, never traced nor stain of sin. The true and better Adam come to save the help of man. Christ the great and sure fulfillment of the law, in him we stand. Come behold the Lord upon the tree, in the stead of ruined sinners, hangs the Lamb in victory. See the price of our redemption, see the Father's plan unfold, bringing many sons to glory, grace unmeasured, love untold. Come behold the wondrous mystery, slain by death, the God of life. But no grave could e'er restrain him, praise the Lord, he is alive.
Psalm 86, it says, you are great and do wondrous things. Thou art God alone. We'll sing verses 1, 2, and 4 of How Great Thou Art.
Stars, I hear the mighty thunder, thy
I would invite you to join with me now as we come together to confess our sins. That is one of the very important elements of our time together, that we join as brothers and sisters, and we humbly confess that we need Jesus, that we need a Savior. And so I would invite you to look at our confession. You'll find it in our bulletin. It'll also be on the screen. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess unto you that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against you by thought, word, and deed. Therefore, we flee for refuge to your infinite mercy, seeking and imploring your grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I was thinking about that wondrous mystery as we were singing this morning, and it reminded me of some verses I read earlier this week from Revelation 5. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. Because that Lamb was slain, his blood was shed for you, you have forgiveness in Jesus Christ our Lord. We praise him, we thank him, we glorify his name for the forgiveness that is found in him. The last phrase of the verse that we just sang, "How great thou art," is one of my favorite lines in any song. My God, how great thou art. To stand in exaltation and glory at the greatness of God to forgive our sins and to give us heaven. That's our hope and that's our joy because of the forgiveness that is found in Jesus. And we thank him that we are forgiven today. Amen. This time I'm going to call on Aaron Rudebush to come and read our scripture.
Good morning. Would you please stand for the reading of scripture? The Old Testament reading is from the book of Exodus, chapter 16, starting with verse 2. And the whole congregation of the people of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the people of Israel said to them, "Would that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the meat pots and ate bread to the full, for you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill us, kill this whole assembly with hunger." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Behold, I am about to rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a day's portion every day, that I may test them, whether they will walk in my law or not. On the sixth day, when they prepare what they bring in, it will be twice as much as they gather daily." So Moses and Aaron said to all the people of Israel, "At evening you shall know that it was the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt. And in the morning you shall see the glory of the Lord, because he has heard your grumbling against the Lord. For what are we that you grumble against us?" And Moses said, "When the Lord gives you in the evening meat to eat, and in the morning bread to the full, because the Lord has heard your grumbling that you grumble against us, what are we? Your grumbling is not against us, but against the Lord." Then Moses said to Aaron, "Say to the whole congregation of the people of Israel, come near before the Lord, for he has heard your grumbling." And as soon as Aaron spoke to the whole congregation of the people of Israel, they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. And the Lord said to Moses, I have heard the grumbling of the people of Israel. Say to them, at twilight you shall eat meat, and in the morning you shall be filled with bread. And then you shall know that I am the Lord your God. In the evening, quail came up and covered the camp, and in the morning, dew lay around the camp. And when the dew had gone up, there was on the face of the wilderness a fine flake-like thing, fine as frost on the ground. When the people of Israel saw it, they said to one another, what is it? For they did not know what it was. And Moses said to them, it is the bread that the Lord has given you to eat. The second reading is from the book of Ephesians, the fourth chapter, starting with verse 17. Now this I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardness of their heart. They have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. But that is not the way you learned Christ. Assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him, as the truth is in Jesus, put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Here ends the reading.
Let's join together then in confessing our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated on the right hand of God, the Father Almighty, from where he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen and amen. You may be seated. This time I'll call on the ushers to wait upon us. Thank you, Father, for these gifts. Thank you for the many ways in which you so abundantly, richly provide for us. God, we are grateful. We stand especially before you in light of salvation and forgiveness and eternal life, and we sing, my God, how great you are. And so I pray that you would bless our time together here now, our time of spent in your word, our time of communion later today as well. In your name I pray, amen. Before the message, let's turn then in our hymnals to hymn number 601, Abide With Me, Fast Falls the Eventide. It's a beautiful hymn of prayer. This is a prayer that I would invite you to pray this morning here as we sing. Number 601.
Spill it.
We are in the Gospel of Matthew this morning, continuing in our series. We aren't far from being done with it, actually. This is the last portion of the Apostles' Creed that we are going through now this morning on the judgment of Christ, when he shall come to judge the living and the dead, as we confessed earlier this morning. Starting next week, we will begin with the third and final portion then that talks about the Holy Spirit in particular. And so keep coming for that. We've got, like I said, a few weeks left. For now, we are in Matthew, like I said, in chapter 13. I would invite you to stand with me out of respect for God's word. Matthew chapter 13, reading verses 36 through 43. Then he left the crowds, Jesus did, and went into the house. And his disciples came to him, saying, "Explain to us the parable of the weeds of the field." He answered, "The one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed is the sons of the kingdom. The weeds are the sons of the evil one, and the enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are angels. Just as the weeds are gathered and burned with fire, so will it be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all causes of sin and all lawbreakers and throw them into the fiery furnace. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears, let him hear." Father, we pray that prayer. He who has ears, let him hear. Let us hear today what your word has for us. God, open our hearts to receive it in faith. Lord, I pray that you would set these words apart of yours in our hearts as truth, because your word is true. We thank you for that today, dear Lord. In your name I pray, amen. You may be seated. Our text this morning is an explanation of a parable that Jesus tells just a few verses earlier in the chapter, in verses 24 through 30. One of the things that is nice about preaching and teaching on parables is that you have this built-in picture to help illustrate the point that Jesus is making. So I love the disciples when they hear these parables, but so often when they heard them, they just didn't get it. They missed the point so many times, and frankly, we do the same thing. We like to think that maybe we've got things all figured out or that we understand exactly what's going on, but I'll be the first to admit, more often than not, we don't have a clue, and we completely miss the point. That's one reason I'm so grateful for God's patience with me. And Christ was good, and he was patient with his disciples on so many occasions through the Gospels, and this is one of those times. Jesus gives them this parable about the weeds, the tares, and the wheat, and then the parable of the mustard seed, and then the parable of the leaven, and then Jesus' disciples go off on their own, and the disciples say, "Hey, let's go back to that one about the weeds. We didn't get that one. We didn't explain it, or we didn't understand it, so please explain it to us." And so then Jesus gives us this explanation that is in our text this morning. Now, before we get to Jesus' explanation, it's important to look at the picture that he gave, the parable itself. We find that, like I said, a few verses earlier. I won't read the verses. If you have your Bibles with, you can follow along with me if you wish as I'm explaining this. Jesus is talking about the kingdom of heaven, something that we can't really fully understand on our own. But it's something that everybody has a vested interest in, whether you confess faith in God or not. This concerns you because you are a soul on your way to heaven or hell. So Jesus says, the kingdom of heaven, you want to know what that is about? Well, it's like a man who sows good seed in a field. So once upon a time, we'll use that language here, a farmer planted a field full of good seed. But then while men were sleeping, the enemy came. But notice that the enemy here didn't attack the farmer directly, knowing he couldn't win. And so he attacked the field with deception. He planted weeds among the wheat that had been planted. Now, weeds are tares. Maybe your Bibles are like mine. They have a footnote explaining that a little bit better. They're also called darnel or bearded darnel or darnel. I don't even know how to say that. It's a weed that resembles wheat, especially early in its growth. So you can go through and you can look to pick the weeds, but you have no idea which is a weed and which is a good stalk of wheat. After they mature, you can tell a little better. After the plants have matured, the tare or the weed is covered by a hair of some sort, and the heads of this weed don't produce actual grain. They're fakes. Some different kinds of it can actually be poisonous. And so this is dangerous. It can be disastrous to have these potentially poisonous weeds mixed in with your wheat, and early on, you have no idea which is which. And so in the story, this enemy attacked the field at night and then went away, and the wheat sprang up and bore grain, and the weeds grew and became evident as well. And then the slaves come in to the landowner and say, "Didn't you plant good seed? What's going on here?" It's important for us to spend just a minute with that. It doesn't come up later in our text, but there's a valuable point to be made. When the bad seed came and damaged this field, and to give you a little bit of a preview of the explanation, the field represents the world. So when this bad seed, destructive force, came into the field wreaking havoc, what do the slaves immediately think? The landowner planted bad seed. He did this. And if you're not catching on, the landowner, the good sower, is Christ. The slaves are asking, the application here, is it God's fault that there is evil in the world? All right? People love to blame God for the evil that is in this world. And look at how the landowner responds to his slaves in verse 28. An enemy has done this. The evil in this world and the work of the devil, that is what is going on. The devil is the enemy of God. And I believe it's very important for us to recognize that for what it is. You know, we don't like to think about the devil and his reality. He would love for us to downplay his existence or his work because it just makes it easier for him to come in and do his destructive acts. But he is very real. And when there is evil, it's because he is at work. Do you know what really humbles me and saddens me? When I sin and there's evil in my life, I hate the thought of it. It disgusts me that I would allow the devil to work his evil in my life and around me. Forgive us, Lord, for allowing the enemy into our particular field. So the slaves in our story continue by asking, "Well, what do you want us to do?" And the owner replies with all patience and understanding, "Leave them alone for now. You might pull up good ones trying to find the bad ones. You people can't determine for yourself exactly which are the good plants and which are the bad. So allow them to grow to the harvest, and then I will say to the reapers," God says, "gather up the weeds and burn them and put the wheat in the barn." Okay, that's the story. And now we come to the explanation then that Jesus gives to his inquiring disciples. Verse 37. The good sower, that is Christ. He calls himself the Son of Man. It's a favorite name that Jesus gives himself throughout the Gospels. There's rich depth in that name, that he was fully man, but he was much more. It combines the ideas of him being the servant who would suffer and die for all people, but it also deals with the fact that he is the Son. He is God himself. He is exalted. Daniel describes the Son of Man as the one who is given dominion and glory and a kingdom that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion, Daniel says, is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom one that shall not be destroyed. The good sower is Christ, and he sows good seed. He does good work. Verse 38, the good seed. We've got the clarification there that the field is the world, and then the good seed are the sons of the kingdom. We are Christ's workmanship. We are his work, and his work is good. We are his children by grace through faith. And I'm going to come back to that idea of sonship here in just a second. But then we've got the evil sower in verse 39. Like we mentioned, that's the enemy. That's the devil. Like I said, it's important for you and me to see how Jesus is describing what's going on in this world. There is a very real enemy to Christ in this world, and it's the devil, and he's prowling about. And I'm afraid that it's too easy so often for us in our plush homes and cars and jobs to look past the reality of the battle that is going on right now. I've said it a few times over the last few weeks. When we can't literally with our minds physically understand why or how things happen, when it's beyond our comprehension, it's okay to realize that we have an enemy with an evil imagination that isn't bound by the constraints of our human understanding. Does that make sense? When we can't comprehend it, maybe it's because our battle with this enemy is not against flesh and blood, as Scripture tells us. And because this battle is not against flesh and blood, it's not a battle that we can win on our own. We need someone who knows how to win that kind of battle to fight for us. The bad seed comes next here in verse 38. Sons is the description here. The field is the world, the good seed is the sons of the kingdom, the weeds are the sons of the evil one. If you are a son or daughter, and everyone here is, that's basic, right? You belong to someone. You are a part of their family. That's what a son means. And notice here, there isn't a third option. You ever hear someone say, there are two kinds of people in the world? And you can complete that thought so many different ways. One of my dad's favorite movies is Clint Eastwood's The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. And this phrase is used a few times in there. Eastwood needed a grave dug, and so he loads his gun and says to the guy with him, there are two kinds of people in the world, those with loaded guns and those who dig. You dig. We could say there are two kinds of people in the world, North Dakotans and those who wish they could be. That's maybe a risky one with so many Minnesotans here too. In all seriousness, there are two kinds of people in the world today. There are sons of the kingdom and there are sons of the evil one. People love to add a third category where they are their own person. It's not true. We're all sons. We're all daughters. They're just deceiving themselves, and the devil loves it because he's got an awful lot of sons and daughters who don't even realize it, and it makes his job an awful lot easier. This picture, friends, is coming together as Christ is explaining it, and it's serious. In this world, Christ is at work, and it's good work. But the evil one is also at work. This is a battle, and it doesn't get the press coverage like the wars of this world, but it is infinitely, eternally more important, and Jesus is explaining this to his disciples and to us today. And he finishes this section by saying, he who has ears, let him hear. So listen up. This is a big deal. This concerns you. And now we move forward and we come to the climax or to the conclusion. If this battle is going on, if this is real, then what does it mean for down the road? How does it end? The reapers, verse 39, they're the angels, we learn. They're sent by God. They're given their directions by God. And then in verses 40 to 43, we find the fates of each of the seeds. And as we look at these last verses, remember that the wheat and the tares, while they are growing, look the same. You know, we can sit here and ask God and talk about how we can remove all the weeds from around us, but it's clear that in God's mind, the weeds are living with the good seed until the harvest. The end of the age. And that it's not our job to pick out the weeds and remove them. God will do that. He will come to judge the living and the dead. And so as we look at the fate of these seeds, my friends, these words are for you. They're not for you necessarily to use against someone else. They are for you today. The fate of the bad seed, verses 40 to 42. Just as the weeds are gathered and burned with fire, so will it be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all causes of sin and all lawbreakers and throw them into the fiery furnace. In that place, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. That's serious and that's grim. All causes of sin, all lawbreakers, he will cast them into the furnace of fire where there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. You know, there are a lot of descriptions out there about hell. It's possible for us to get a little bit carried away sometimes with having to understand exactly what that's going to be like. You know what? It's not anywhere I want to be. I know that. Is it going to be a furnace of fire like it says here with this big, massive furnace? I have pictures of VeggieTales furnaces in my head right now, okay? Is there a literal lake of fire like Revelation talks about? How is that all going to work? I don't know all of those details. But I can tell you that it doesn't sound good. Some people read about this burning up and they think that those people will be burned and will cease to exist. But there are other places in Scripture that describe hell as an eternal punishment. And so maybe the best way to describe hell is simply separation. Separation from God. And there are some who may think that that's not so bad. But did you know that God is actively at work in creation, and when he is actively at work, like we've said today, he does good work? And the absence of that is something we don't even understand or know? His existence and care is evident all around us. Whether you believe it or not, it's still true. And so separation from God means separation from life, from plants, trees, water. Isaiah is one of the places that talks about thirsting, but not being able to quench your thirst. That's awful. It's separation from relationships. Those are gifts from God. So you are completely alone, ever thirsty, devoid of anything living, and in some way maybe burning, ever weeping, gnashing of teeth. It's a real place. Jesus is clear. This will happen because God says so for those weeds. The fate of the good seed. The sons of the kingdom. Jesus says, verse 43, then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. It's a simple statement, but it is packed with hope and promise and assurance. Because just as hell is real, As real as that is, so is heaven. And it's waiting for those sons of the kingdom who have faith in Christ, those who sin, who fail, who repent, who believe the gospel, who are trusting in Christ to fight that battle for them, that unwinnable battle that only the Son of Man could win, being uniquely God and man. It's the only way that battle could be won, and Jesus did exactly that. Whose faith is in Christ. One thing we talked about this week at camp was not so much in the quality of our faith or the quantity of our faith. We talk about that a lot. You know, do we have enough faith? Is our faith good enough? No. The object of our faith. Are we looking to Christ, trusting in Him? He is the victor. He is the one who has won our battle on our behalf and who gives it that victory freely to us. Simply because He's that gracious and that merciful and that loving. And in Him, then, you and I are declared righteous, and we've got everlasting life, not separation, but life to look forward to. You know, I've tried to be clear here on the importance of understanding the reality of the evil one in hell, but it's just so important that heaven is not seen as some fairy tale place either. This is a real place that we can tangibly look forward to. Think of places that you've been excited to visit throughout your life. Places maybe you've never been before that you were looking forward to. Was there any doubt before visiting that that place didn't exist? No. You knew it was there and you were excited to go, and that excitement was palpable. It was real. Friends, it's okay to be really excited for heaven. Our dearly loved Mabel was excited for heaven. Because it's real, and if you're trusting in Christ for your victory, you are going. And you can know that because it's based on the word and the work of the one who does good work, who says good things, who makes good promises that He does not fail on. Maybe today even we'll go. Wouldn't that be great? Do you have somewhere else to be today? Wouldn't it be more fun to go to heaven? It's kind of fun to think about, isn't it? And the righteous will shine forth like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Maybe today. Amen. Let's close. Let's sing together. Number 555, when the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. Number 555. As we prepare for communion, I would encourage you to hear now this exhortation, considering what you must believe and do. From the words of Christ, "This is my body which is given for you. This is my blood which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins." You should believe that Jesus Christ is present with his holy body and blood, as the words declare. And friends, that is pretty special, to know that Christ is here with us through these elements, that his powerful word of forgiveness and life is found here. It's something that you get to taste and to see today, that the Lord is good. From Christ's words for the forgiveness of sins, you should also believe that Jesus gives to you his body and blood to strengthen your assurance that your sins are forgiven. So if you're not quite sure, come and see how good God is. He has broken his body and shed his blood for you. And finally, you should do as Christ commands you when he says, "Take and eat, drink of it all of you. This do in remembrance of me." Remember Christ when you come forward today. If you believe these words of Christ and do as he has commanded, you have properly examined yourselves and may eat Christ's body and drink his blood in a worthy manner. And then one of my favorite parts of this too, you should also unite in giving thanks. So don't forget when you leave to say thank you for all the good things that he has done for you. To give thanks to Almighty God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for so great a gift. And love one another with a pure heart, and thus with the whole Christian church, have comfort and joy in Christ our Lord. To this end, may God the Father give you his grace through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We have a brief time of silent prayer, and then I'll lead us in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same manner also he took the cup, and when he had eaten and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." This time, I would invite you to come forward as the ushers direct you, and for the helpers to come forward as well. We close the service, then let's go to the Lord in prayer. Thank you today, God, for your good work, for refreshing us today with these your gracious gifts. Lord, we thank you for your goodness to us, for your grace and mercy and love that sent your Son to the cross to die for us, to break his body, to shed his blood, so that we in turn might be called sons and daughters of God with an eternal inheritance that does not fade away. We rejoice in that today, Lord. I thank you for the power of your word to bring souls to you. Lord, I pray if there is anyone here who does not know you, who is not trusting in you as their Savior, as their Lord, I pray, God, that you would work in their hearts to bring them today to repentance and to faith. Father, I pray for those who are hurting today for various reasons. We pray for Ken Loken and the Loken family. We pray for Josiah and for the Gillens, Lord. I pray for healing there in both of those situations and a speedy, healthy, good recovery. Lord, we are grateful to you today for the life that you gave Mabel. And we are rejoicing, Lord, in that hope of heaven that she is experiencing. And Lord, but we're hurting too for her loss here on this earth. And we pray, oh God, that you would bring comfort to our hearts and our souls today. Remind us that you are with us, Lord, and that you love us, that you care. Lord, I pray for Missy, who is sick today as well. For any others who are hurting and who are suffering, we pray, God, for healing and for comfort where that is needed. Thank you so much for a good week at teen camp this last week and for the safe return of our students. Lord, we pray for our preteen camp now starting tonight. And I pray that you would that you would bless those students, be with Ryan as he brings the evening messages. Lord, I pray that this would be a wonderful week that you would use in a mighty way in the hearts and lives of our young people. Lord, we thank you for this time together. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the hope that we have of heaven. In your name I pray, amen. Please rise now and receive the benediction. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.